Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the teleseminar today. Just really happy to have all of you here on the call and looking forward to us talking together today. Just a couple of things as we get started here. I'll be presenting some ideas about the topic for today for a little while, and then would love to hear from you what your thinking is, or if you have any questions or anything in general about the principles. And to do that, you'll have to press star 2 on your phone when you're ready. But I'll let you know when we're ready for questions or sharing your thoughts. And so again, this is our Three Principles Institute teleseminar, and there will be a recording made and be able to download that in a couple of days. So let's get started. Today, the topic occurred to me as I was preparing to do the training I did for Mike O'Neill Super Coach Academy this weekend. And I wanted to start the theme of today with a story. So in many of the videos and interviews that are posted about me through the last several years, I've talked about how I had the insight into the principles while listening to Sydney Banks that really started me sharing the principles and learning how to share the principles. But prior to ever meeting Sydney Banks, I went to meet with John Enright, who was a partner of George Pransky in the 70s. And I met with him around 1982 because really I wanted to just be happier in my life and wanted to do a little more impact in my own work with people. And one of the things that I wanted to talk with John about was how easy it was for me to get upset with people or get annoyed or bothered or get angry at times. And I want to get better with that. And what he told me that really, really hit me was you can't be right and happy at the same time. You can't be right and happy at the same time. And that really hit me because I think now looking at it, it moved me from the world of my own thinking, which was I was right about my thinking, to the true spiritual nature of what we are, which is happiness and well-being. And it just opened that up for me in a nanosecond that what I was trying to do to be happy by judging people, evaluating people, talking to them that they needed to fit my way was a way to be happy. That was the way to get there. But what I realized in that moment of you can't be right and happy at the same time was that happiness is there. It has nothing to do with what you are planning to do outside of yourself to get happy. I saw that all in a second, and it really hit me. And so I wanted to talk about that today because it's another way to look at the principles together, the spiritual nature, the energy that we are all a part of, and how we can easily get sidetracked by how we form our beliefs through the power of thought and consciousness. You see, so being right is really a misunderstanding of the way principles play out with everybody you're living with or everybody you come in contact with that you're in relationship with, you see. Because everybody is the principles in action, and so they're using the power of thought and consciousness to create for themselves a reality they live in. Just like me or just like you. So it makes sense that whenever you're going to have a conversation with someone about a particular life issue or a way of going about something in life, whether it's professionally with someone that you're partnering with or giving a talk with someone or being in a love relationship, everybody's going to have their own right way. Because if they have a thought about that they need to have it go this way, that's the reality they're living in, and they're going to see that that's the way to go. So everybody is kind of looking at the same issue, but from a different lens because of the nature of how thought plays out within each individual. And so then when respond to people from my way is the right way, it would have impact on people. And it would have present some difficulty in the relationship because, people can't see it my way. They're going to look at it their way through the power of thought and the reality they've created. So in every relationship, this plays out. It's always playing out because the principles are operating through every human being, every moment, and every moment a person that you're in some relationship with, whatever it is at the moment, is creating a reality they're living in, and that's going to be different than yours. It could be as simple as a checkout stand at the grocery store, where not only are people who are in line in front of you creating their own reality of that checkout experience, but so is the checkout person. And then there's you. And if you have some ideas about how it's going and you're thinking there's a right way to go about this, you're in trouble because you're going to get annoyed or bothered because other people are going to be doing it their way. So just something as simple as that occurring, in our days as we go to the grocery store or the market, is another play out of our own personal thinking and a misunderstanding or a lack of consciousness for the fact that everybody's doing the same thing in that line. So I've had times when I've been in the market and I use the express line, and I get caught up in how it's going slowly, and I keep thinking that so I get caught up in it should be a right, this should be a certain way, right? I get thinking that there's a right way to go through the express line, So I wanted to share this with you because being right will not get you to the feelings you're looking for. And being right and holding on to being right about your reality is a misunderstanding of how you can use separate realities as a way to have understanding for people. Now, whenever you approach someone and you're sharing what is right for you from a judgmental place, other people are going to lose their level of consciousness because they're going to have thinking about your way of approaching them. So most likely when you mention, when you speak and share how right you are, you're usually saying how wrong the other person is. And they'll get offended by it. They'll be hurt. Usually they'll get offensive with you. That's usually the case. So they're not in a great state to work with you at all. And so it just leads to conflict. I would venture to say in my experience in sharing the principles with people and particularly with couples that the one area that creates conflict is approaching the other person in terms of how right you are and how wrong they are. And as you stay in that conversation, both of you get defensive, your feelings may get hurt, and your level of consciousness drops. So another way of looking at this when I shared with you the story is that living in how right your reality is living in the production of the principle, is living in the form that the principles take through you. You can't escape that you're going to create a reality moment to moment that you're living in about your circumstances or about the other person that you're in a relationship with. You could think of them in a way that bothers you, and that's going to look true to you. You're going to look at them in terms of the in a way that that you have gratitude, and that's going to be the reality you live in. But the important thing that woke up for me was I was using the form of the principles to try to maneuver my way in relationships to get the feeling I wanted of well-being and happiness and compatibility and give and take and generosity. And in most cases, when I got into a position of being right, or when people get into a position of being right, it really doesn't work out that way. So again, it's like taking something that came to you in the world of form without an understanding that the principles created it, that you created it through the principles. Without that understanding, you don't have the protection to talk about what seems right to you. There's certainly importance maybe to what you see as the right way, but if you don't have an understanding that everybody's creating their own way too, if you don't have an understanding of how the principles play out, the way you present what's right for you will usually end up with it, the conversation going poorly. But if you're able to share what is right for you with an understanding that this other person has a reality that looks right for them, because that's how the principles play out, that understanding will take care of you as you try to share or have a conversation about the way you'd like to have things to go. So, again, when I heard you can't be right and happy at the same time, it also woke up for me in a nanosecond that there's another way to be inside. I didn't really know it that well, but it woke up that I'm already what I'm looking for. That the happiness I'm looking for is already there. It's not within my own thinking, my own Mark Howard thinking to get there. It's already there. Now, I didn't know anything about that, how to be there, what to do with that. That came from my going to hear Sydney Banks a couple of weeks later, and it started to wake up how that is my true nature. But if you really get how your true nature, your spiritual energy, which is well-being, love, and understanding, happiness, can't exist at the time you're trying to fortify your own personal thinking, you're on the road to waking up, to looking in another direction. That's what happened to me. And it shifted me. I started to see that my own thinking wasn't going to get me to where I wanted to be. It was good. I mean, doesn't mean that all of my thinking was working against me. But I started to see I needed to balance that thinking or understand my thinking in terms of a deeper essence of what we all are. That we are all this beautiful, loving feelings, right? That's our true nature. And we're meant to find that and discover that. And I was just kind of going sideways because I had learned through growing up in at the time that I grew up, that as a man, you wanted to be right. And so I would honor how thought and consciousness created what looked to me like right ways to go about things. So no wonder I was gripped by it. No wonder it was difficult to give up my way for somebody else's way. Although I did that, it didn't feel like the right thing to do, but I would do that because it looked like it might be a better way. It didn't come from understanding that my way was one of billions of ways that it could be to handle any issue. So anyhow, that's what woke up. And again, what woke up was I touched my true nature. When I heard that, whatever happened for me internally was that it woke up the deep wisdom that exists in my consciousness. And I saw how I was leading myself astray innocently by taking positions about being right rather than seeing that I already had the happiness that I was looking for. And that if I went to happiness, that would take care of things. So how that played out, as I listened more to the principles, was that I honored more of just waiting to materialize this happiness. I would look to love and understanding. I would try to keep my eye on that happiness was better than getting into the feelings of being judgmental about another person's way compared to my way. So kind of eased off the throttle on the force of my way being the right way and moved toward happiness being the guide. So if I was continuing to support my separate reality and it moved into a negative feeling state, I started to use that to know that was the wrong way to look at it and to go back toward happiness and well-being. So I spoke about that a bit in the Friday night event I did for Michael Neal, or with Michael Neal and Kathy Casey. We talked a bit about this, and that is that you in any relationship, you can talk about anything you think is right or look at another person's reality that might not quite fit for you if you have understanding. See, if you have understanding that there really is no right way and that two people are just creating what looks right at the moment, given their level of thinking, then you can talk about anything because the understanding of how the principles play out protects you. You are at a higher level of consciousness with understanding than you are when you just forget that and try to convince people about how right your thinking is. That's kind of a lower level of consciousness. And if you honor that really in talking with anyone, you want to have feelings of well-being and goodwill. You want to have feelings of understanding and love. That'll take care of you as you discuss the many, many differences that take place between two people in any kind of relationship. So it could be a business partnership. It could be a program partnership. It could be a love partnership. You know, Kathy, Casey, and I have a business partnership, and we have traveled together for the principles and doing some work for the principles. And we have been able to really look at our differences with understanding. Even though at times they may bother us a bit, we have funny stories that we share about each other, and it's become funny stories because we have understanding for each other and the way that the principles play out within our own thinking. So there were times for 2 or 3 years we would travel frequently, once or about every five weeks or so, to do work in the East Coast. And then there was a time we did a 2-week trip. And so our ways came out with each other. And what helped us navigate our differences was understanding, was a feeling of happiness with each other, was a feeling of love and understanding. And again, also understanding that the principles play out in the ways we were, you know, in the ways she wanted to go or the ways I wanted to go. And the only difference between getting annoyed and bothered about that was coming back to the understanding of this is just her way, this is just my way, given the level of understanding I'm in right now. And if we met that with understanding, we could talk it through. It's the same in terms of when we teach, you know, when we are working together to share the principles. You want to be listening in a level of understanding, because if you start to get judgmental about, for example, how much time she's taking, or that isn't the direction we wanted to go in, you know, you get insecure, you get bothered, and then you're no good in sharing the principles. So again, just some ways in which the fact that there are going to be differences in the ways people want to go about life with you, and whatever it is you're partnering with them about, helps. Because if you really look, even a love relationship has a lot of differences going on in it. For example, you know, people talk about, I want a relationship where I'm compatible with my partner. Well, really, there's no such thing as compatibility, really. Compatibility that people are looking for is a feeling of understanding. That's what people really mean. Because if you really looked at it, nobody can really be compatible, because every day people's levels of thinking when they're with one another is different. And they have learned ways that come through thought, you know. So, you know, you could just look at one thing, like having breakfast together. And there are differences all the time. You know, one person wants to be healthy eating. Another person wants to eat this way. Another person may just want to have coffee. Another person wants juices. And it'd be very difficult to get compatible there. However, if you see those differences with understanding, there's this feeling of connection. That's what people mean when they say they want compatibility. You know, is just having understanding that through the principles, this person prefers this. That's the reality they're living with. And that understanding allows a couple to be together and connected to one another despite differences. And then if you're with understanding, generosity takes over. So you'll say, okay, you know, I really like having juices, but, you know, instead of going out for one, I'll stay here with you and we'll just have a coffee, or I'll have tea together, or we'll have a bacon and egg breakfast, or whatever it is, you know. Generosity comes into play, and that deepens the connection, because the connection is always there of love and understanding. And if you can move toward understanding about separate realities, or how everybody creates their right way, but where you want to speak is from your true nature, love and understanding, happiness and well-being, then that will take care of you and will bring out generosity, or it'll bring out the deep feeling of connection, or it'll bring out gratitude, or it'll actually bring out wisdom. So the two of you, with understanding for each other's ways, you might create a whole new way, because you're all connected to this true nature, which is wisdom too. So that could come up as a way to handle something that is a life issue for both of you. So rather going to your limiting thought-created separate realities, you could transcend that, because you're listening to one another with understanding, and that feeling could bring wisdom to bear. So again, I just wanted to share with you that you can't be right and happy at the same time, and why you can't, and how I saw that very deeply, and that it doesn't keep you from sharing what you feel right about. But if you share it without the understanding that that's just made up, because you can do that through thought and consciousness, and that other person is doing the same thing, if you have that understanding, well, you could talk about what you think is right. But if you don't have that understanding, then you're going to be more wedded to your way, and it's going to lead to conflict in relationships. So the key element is understanding once again where the reality you're living in comes from, and that what you're looking for is tapping into your true nature once again, that the happiness and well-being is already there. You don't need to be right in order to get there. You want to be understanding to get there. So let me just stop for a second here, talk for a bit. Again, welcome to everybody who's joined as we started. And I just want to see if anybody has any comments or any questions. Again, I love this to be interactive. And we learn a lot when we hear from people who are on the teleseminar. So I would encourage you to just share, no matter what it is, you know, it's fine. It'll lead us to maybe seeing more together. In order to do that, you need to press star 2 on your telephone. I'll see that, and then I'll invite you to share either your question or something that made sense to you today from the teleseminar. Okay, so here's somebody. It looks like Paul. Is that you, Paul?
This is Pramila. Pramila Paul.
Oh, hi.
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 Hi, Mark.
Hi.
My question is, what happens if the other person is bent upon being upset until you change? And you got to see it their way, otherwise life is hell.
Well, again, you know, this is a wonderful question. So let's step back to what we could speak to about how the principles could help us with that question. The only way that someone is going to stay with their way and be upset until you change is they're caught up in that they're thinking. Their thinking and what their thinking needs to be fixed, they're lost in thinking that's the way they're going to feel better. Mm-hmm. So the only way to be with that is you have to have, or I have to have, the understanding that that person is thinking this way, that they're caught up in a low level of understanding right now. So that's all you can do with this, is think that. If you try to say how right you know it to be, it leads to they're becoming even more defensive, right? I'm not saying this is the right way to be treated at all, but I'm just saying what's going to be helpful here. You know, outside of it seeming to you that you want to set a limit about how you want to be talked to, you still can only operate at your most powerful way by having understanding of this other person and what level their thinking's at. So I was, in a way, at times I would be like that person myself. And I didn't mean any harm. I just was trying to feel better. And I thought if I could feel better, I could feel better if my wife could change. See, that's what I was caught up in. So when I was at my worst level at times, I would make that demand, right? But it was an innocent thing because I didn't know any better. And so when people act that way toward me, with the understanding I now have, is I kind of see they're lost. And all that I can do is try to get inside me to a level of understanding for their humanness. And it's surprising because when I find that, something occurs to me to share that was different than when I thought I would share, when I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be impossible to deal with this person, or they're never going to change. They're always going to want me to be different. But if somebody's always upset, the only thing going on is they're feeling badly. They just can't see a way out, and they think a way out is to demand things. Okay, so if you really care for the person, then the way for you to be of service, if at all, is going to be that you don't want to lose your understanding for what's truly going on. Now, that understanding that you can stay with as much as you can, or if you lose it, you come back to it, will fortify you. You will see more things about how to intervene, how to show up, things like that. So your true nature, the spiritual intelligence that you are a part of, will help you. But the vehicle is to have understanding when you're with people like this or with a person like this. And the understanding is they're caught in a low level of thinking and they don't know their way out. Now, they can reach it at any moment. So when people meet love and understanding, it does impact them. It does. It does. I'll tell you a quick story and then we'll see if somebody else has a question. But so, you know, for a long time, I was running a program that was for recovery from addictions to alcohol or other drugs. And there was this woman taught me about this, so I'm going to share the story. She, you know, in her work with me in the program, she was saying, you know, when I start drinking, it's when I start cooking dinner and I have a glass of wine and then my husband comes home and I want to have time with him. I haven't seen him all day, but he goes right away and turns on the TV and then he starts reading the paper and he doesn't even say hello. So then I have another glass of wine because I'm pissed off about it. And then by the time dinner comes, I have another glass of wine because he's not really, he's not doing what I want. So we were talking about this, the same theme in a different way in one of our classes. I was talking about it, you know, separate realities. So here's what she reported to us after a weekend. She said the same thing was happening. I was cooking dinner and my husband came home. And I was going to have a glass of wine. And then our class of about separate realities came to my mind. And I got this idea that, okay, if I want to be with him, why don't I just go sit next to him and just be in understanding? I don't have to have him be my way. It doesn't have to occur my way. So she just went and sat next to him. And long story short, she sat next to him with just wanting to be next to him because she just wanted that. And that feeling, he couldn't keep reading the paper. And he just says, well, what are you doing? She said, well, I've had this class at Kaiser and it told me to, either stay with being right about how I want you to be or just be the way I want to be with you. And so I just want to be with you. And and have understanding when I'm with you. And he couldn't manage to ignore her, you know. And it changed things. And that taught me how powerfully being in understanding can be, because not only did she have understanding of her own separate reality and how being right about it was causing her to get angry with her husband, but she also, when she looked there, she got wisdom. It guided her in terms of how to be. And she never talked to her husband that way ever. She always talked to her husband about him putting down the paper. Why doesn't he put down the paper and say hello to me? You see, about how to be with her. But when she just went and met him with understanding, people get impacted. And there have been many, many stories through the years of my work with people with addictions in relationships in which that has changed like that. The power of understanding happiness and well-being rather than being right. Does that help? Did that make sense?
Yes, very much. Thank you.
Oh, good. Oh,
very
good.
Much.
Does any?
Very much.
Okay, good. Wonderful. Thank you for asking the question.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else have a question they'd like to ask? Okay, there is. There's somebody else here. So hold on. Let me just get this working. Hi, there's somebody in San Francisco. Minnie?
Kathy.
Oh, Kathy, hi.
Kathy Elliott. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
I have a 415 area code.
That's it. That's you. It comes up with another name.
Okay.
But no problem.
Maybe I ought to start going by another name. My life isn't going real easily right now. And it's an excellent topic you brought up. And I'm like the caller before me. It's the same area, you know. I'm feeling very overwhelmed and disappointed, or disgusted, I think, in my life right now, because it seems like most of the people where I live that I have to interact with, whether it's the property managers or people in, I don't know, what do you call it, Chamber of Commerce or neighbor, whatever, really, I'm tired of trying to do what you're talking about doing today. I feel like I do put out an awful lot of effort to be very understanding of maybe where other people are coming from. I'm pretty good at that. But I'm wondering, that's all I'm going to say, that we do live very much in a world where people don't have such a high state of consciousness. And it can be pretty exhausting, whether in the workplace, the grocery store, whatever, to always have to be the one that accommodates. I think I'll stop right there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. And okay, well, thanks for sharing, Kathy. Okay, so there's a couple of things. Really, there's a couple of things to look at, and I love you sharing something like this for us today in this talk, because it's right at this talk. Okay. So, once again, when John Enright confronted me and said, you can't be right and happy at the same time, it moved me to a deep feeling of understanding. And there was nothing on it, like it was just a great feeling to move toward being understanding rather than always having to be right. Now, that's the feeling that will tell you how personal you're getting with being understanding about people. The more personal we get about we should be understanding or we should try to be understanding, if we're not feeling neutral about it, or we're not feeling like we're in the deep space of wisdom or connection, we got a little personal about it. And I do too, you know, I do too. It's like, but you can't get away from the truth. You can't get away from the truth. So the only thing that bothers me, when and I get bothered, the only thing that bothers me is I have an opinion about another person's thought-created reality. That's it. That's the only thing that can create bother in me. Not them, the way I, what thinking I get into about their way, which is, their way is a result of their thought-created reality. And it's anxious times. It's scary times for a lot of people. And so, you know, when we go out and step out into the world, a lot of people are living in pressure and anxiety and worry. And so they're creating ways of being with us that are at lower levels than we would like. So that's the truth. Nothing changes. That's the truth. So the way to find your spiritual nature is to keep deepening your understanding of that truth. If somebody's giving me a hard time about a certain kind of contract or a business offering or whatever, I've got to find a way to not get an opinion about that, so my own wisdom can guide me. It might just say, well, okay, this is the best that's going to happen. I just got to go with it. I'm going to run up against these people, so I've got to take care of my own state of mind and not meet them at their state of mind. But the more we have on it, we're not really truly in this understanding that I'm pointing to. And I hold myself to the same point. And the only thing that saves me is going back to this understanding that every human being is creating their moment-to-moment behavior through the level of thinking they're doing. So I told this story before. I shared it over the weekend. I'll share you a story about this. So I'm walking in my neighborhood, and it's got a lot of trees around it, and it has a little park that I would walk through. And I'm listening to Sydney Banks, and I'm in this deep feeling of love and understanding. I'm deeply in it. I feel a oneness with the trees and all of that. And I'm walking along, and I think I've shared this before, but it just come to me to emphasize my point. And here's somebody walking in directly coming toward me, and there's no way to move. And I start thinking about who's moving here. And I'm thinking, wait a minute here, this person's not going to move. I'm going to have to move. What's up with that? How are they getting in my way? And why do they think it's right for me to move? So I'm all bothered. And I passed them, and I'd moved. And all of a sudden, I recognize, oh, my God, there I go again. I got an opinion about their way. So they probably are then thinking about how right they are. And so they're going to behave from that, which is, I don't know what it could be. They might be thinking, hey, buddy, you're the one moving. I'm not going to move. You know, whatever it is. Well, I had an opinion about their way, and it disturbed me. It bothered me. However, just a few seconds past them, I woke up to, once again, how I lose sight of this understanding, the true nature of this understanding. Now, if I could have held on to it, which I couldn't, I would have probably been able to move out of this person's way without much on it. But anyhow, what was nice about it, anyhow, was I could regroup back to the feeling and just see, well, there you are, Mark. You got caught up once again. And, you know, But I wasn't in a deep enough understanding, so I got bothered by other people's ways. Or maybe I could think, well, on my walks, I'm gonna have to be the person in having understanding, because nobody that's walking is in the same level of understanding, and I might have an opinion about that. I might have an opinion about being the one who has the understanding, you see. Well, that'll make me feel bad. And it's not, and it's I got personal about the understanding, you see. It's like, if you have the understanding and you've wakened up to it, well, you want to get as deep as you can in it. And so when I get troubled that I have to be the one with the understanding, it's I haven't seen it deep enough. I have an opinion about it. And so now I'm creating Mark Howard's way with the understanding. And when I woke up to, you can't be right and happy in the same time, when I really saw that in the deep understanding, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me at all. Now, that being said, it doesn't mean you have to like or ignore people's ways. This isn't about how to be. It's an understanding. But what you want is your wisdom to know what to do with people's ways so that it doesn't get worse. So if I see myself qualifying the understanding by, oh, I have to be understanding once again, I can't use that to try to do something. I have to wait till I get deeper and let the wisdom guide me. So again, once again, this is because you have understanding about why people are acting the way they are, doesn't mean you have to like it or ignore it. But if it's renting space in your head, as it does with me sometimes, you don't want to act from there because you haven't seen it deep enough yet to let the intelligence of your true nature guide you about what to do. So pointing yourself to understanding is the way that you're going to hear your own wisdom. It might say, give it a little time. It might say, settle down. It might say, you need to ask somebody to be different, whatever. But you want to be able to know that that's coming from you having pure understanding for the way the principles are acting, are being created, are being used by these other people. Again, it doesn't say you have to ignore it or like it, but you don't want to respond to it when you're still a bit troubled by it. Again, you want the same understanding for yourself. If you're troubled by it, you're troubled by it, but you want to give yourself understanding. You don't want to criticize yourself or evaluate yourself saying, well, geez, I should be deeper than I am because I know the principles. Some things that come your way through a week can get you troubled. So you're troubled, but you want understanding for yourself as well as for other people. So when you're troubled, it's just a sign that your level of thinking's down a bit. So you just want to, you don't want to have an opinion about that. You just want to help yourself with it and wait till it changes. Well, I hope that was helpful. Thank you so much for sharing that little bit with us, Kathy. And Paula, thank you also for sharing. We have time for one more person. And if anybody else has anything they want to share or anything more about the principles you'd like to know, again, press star 2. So, okay, we have one more person here. So, Okay, so I don't know whether I should say the names that come up, but this is from Phoenix, Arizona. So we're looking at Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah,
Neyland?
Hi, Mark. Actually, this is Gail. Neyland is my husband.
Oh, hi. Hi, Gail.
Hi. Hi, yeah. And I was at Super Coach this past weekend and got to hear you and meet you. And maybe mine is a little bit veered off from the topic, but we talked a lot about curiosity and getting curious. And
yeah.
I became aware that, well, at first I was feeling like I didn't quite have what it takes to be curious enough. But then I kind of got to see that maybe sometimes I just squashed down my curiosity, and then I've squashed it down so much that it's sort of buried under a bunch of layers of something, maybe like thinking or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had this smidgen of awareness, and maybe you could talk about this. I don't know if it's something that perhaps curiosity comes in the same boat with that innate well-being and innate intelligence that we all possess, but that we just sometimes don't, are not aware of it or something like that.
Well, thanks, Gail. That's really neat to share. I think you've kind of seen it already that what we talked about in Supercodes can apply here in this topic. And it was a way to listen to people. And again, if you're in this understanding and you can listen to people, if you can listen to them around being more curious about how it is that they see it the way they do, rather than what we're talking about today, having an opinion about the way they see it or being judgmental about it. If you're curious about it with people, you could probably get to a place where you'll see what they're up against and be able to talk more solution-based, you know, or you'll be able to talk in a more of a way where there's a connection. And so that's something that comes with listening to people's ways from understanding that they're creating their way with you through their level of thinking. So if you got curious about why they're presenting this to you, and you when it's a difficult situation like Kathy's presented, then you have to be really, really careful that you stay with your understanding to go be curiosity. But curiosity about another person's way can really allow you to see the connection to the human condition. And when you see any inkling of what the other person's facing, it will help you speak to them in a way that might lead to understanding. Now, you're right, Gail. The only thing on the feeling from where the curiosity comes from is our own thinking. Because you see, when you're listening from understanding, that can lead you to be curious about another person, your thinking isn't there. Like in that space where we're really in that spiritual nature of us, like when I started today, when John Enright said, "You can't be happy and you can't be right and happy at the same time," I went to this space where it wasn't so much about me. And so when you're listening with understanding and being curious, it's all about the other person. So your thinking isn't in there. Your opinions or your past history with them or their ways and from the past, it's not in there. If it is, that's in the way of pure listening or curiosity. And you're right about it. That's all that's in the way. So when I work with couples and I begin to invite them to try this out with each other, early on in trying it out, they go a few steps, you know, and then in comes their thinking about how the other person is, you know. And so it kind of contaminates that curiosity. But as they begin to see that the only thing in the way of really being curious with another person about their way is their own thinking, they start to put that aside, and then the curiosity just takes on a momentum. Because when you're in that state of what I call curiosity, you're not thinking about yourself. That's the key. And that then with that, you'll start to see something about the other person in terms of what they're up against, that they're thinking at such a low level. So I hope that helped, Gail.
Yes, it helped a lot, actually. And
oh, good.
It kind of just made me realize, as a coach, what has gotten in my way in the past with curiosity, before the three principles came into my life, was that I felt like I had to sort of help them do something to fix something. And that, I don't know if it was anxiety or that piece was getting in my way of being curious. Because
yeah.
It was like, oh my gosh, what if I hear something that I don't know how to help them fix?
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas being curious is just being curious. It's not with an agenda. At least how I'm hearing it, there's not an agenda to fix it up.
That's beautiful. That's the piece. That's a beautiful insight into it. There's no agenda. That's another way of saying you're not thinking about yourself. There's no agenda. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, there's one more person, and I know we may go a few minutes over. People can dial out if they need to, but I just want to hear this one more person, and then we'll end for today's call, and the recording will be sent to you or on my website. Okay, so there's somebody here from Montreal, is it?
Yep.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Mark.
Hi.
How are you? It's Benoit. Benoit Clérou.
Oh, Benoit. Oh, hi. How are you?
Fine. Yeah, fine. Yeah, I find it really interesting today. And
yes.
Not during the last person, but the one before, what came to me is I really like the way that you explain, you know, when we are in front of someone and they do have a different opinion, how we could struggle ourselves, you know, like a fight.
Yes.
And
yes.
I really got that it's really a win-win when we can see that it's only the three principles that are there. Because it's a win-win for me. It's a win for me. It's a win for the other person. So my interest is really to really be aware that all my thinking is creating my experience in front of the person. You know. And
well, that's really great. That's the deeper truth. See, the deeper truth that we're calling. Understanding is simply that the principles are creating your experience of this person. Through thought and consciousness, you're creating an experience of this person. And you could either be right or happy. You could either be judgmental or understanding, you see. And if you, you know, and it is a win-win. However, there are people that are in ways that could hurt, that be hurtful to you. And but still, if you could look to understanding, you probably tap into your own wisdom to know how to take care of yourself in that regard. But Benoit, I really like that you said it is truly just the principles operating. We're calling it being right or happy, but it's either you're using thought and consciousness to be judgmental, or you're using it to be understanding, it's still your experience coming from the principles of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you want that, you know. Sometimes you want to know through thought. You want to know this person is hurtful or this person isn't good to be around. You want to know that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
you want to know that from understanding rather than from reactivity.
Yeah, it's right. And by knowing it by the understanding, I can choose between being right or be happy, you know?
Yeah.
So if I'm, yeah. So thank you very much. Yeah, I liked it.
Well, thank you, Benoit, for sharing. Thank everyone here for sharing and being able to just share with us your own personal thinking. It always takes courage to kind of be on a call and share something that is your usual thinking. So thanks to everybody who shared. And once again, a wonderful call with all of you. So happy to be here with you. So once again, if you have other questions and you want to ask them of me, send me an email to Dr. Mark Howard, Dr. Mark Howard at comcast.net. We have it set up where you, if you've been on my list, you'll get this recording sent to you. And if not, it'll be up on my website in a couple of days at www.3principlesinstitute.org. Okay, well, have a happy month, and we'll connect back with another teleseminar in February. Thanks, everyone. Enjoyed you all being on the call. Take care.